It's time for the best 60 minutes of your life. This is the Homer Hour, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Here's Emmy Award winner Homer.
The best 60 minutes of your life, of your day. The busy Wednesday Homer Hour and our final Rain Man competition for this contest. They go every 6 months, one till the end of June, and we'll have a second one, right? Or do we
correct.
Know that?
Yep, starting next week.
Starting next week. So, at the present time, we have, Pebble, four people with seven.
Yes, we have four people tied with seven right now. That includes Joe in Milwaukee, Josh in Jackson, Danny in Milwaukee, and Lucas in Sussex.
And those four cannot compete today.
They cannot.
In our final competition, if someone does eight, they will be the winner. A seven means that we will have a five-way tie. Our last two competitions, I think, have ended in a tie. And we had to randomly pick the winner.
Correct. We had a three-way tie and a two-way tie previously.
Do we randomly do that today?
I have the numbers here if you want to pick a number, a random number.
Yes, we randomly pick it from the phone numbers. I have no idea who anybody's phone number is. But, again, so that's the goal. It is caller number five. Caller five, a huge caller number five. 1-800-990-3776. Our Rain Man competition. It's all brought to you by, and of course, Cousin Subs, because even if you stink, which someone did, they got an offer, you still get the $25 gift card from Cousin Subs if you're calling number five. To win in this contest, first of all you got to be is lucky. Cousin Subs, $25 gift card to caller number five, 1-800-990-3776. And, as we just mentioned, someone is going to win Cousin Subs for a year, which is worth about $300. Also, our great partner, Saganiac Planning, a name synonymous with employee benefits and top-notch service, until I realized I was shortcoming Saganiac Planning, because they've been doing it well for over 50 years. That's how they can be so good with the complications of employee benefits and all that that deals with. So, Saganiac Planning is now a name synonymous with employee benefits, top-notch service, and doing it well for over 50 years. And because they are a great supporter of Marquette, we have the Saganiac Planning Marquette trivia question. The first question is always a Marquette question. And do we have a competitor?
We have a competitor, Homer. We have Paul in Cascade.
Paul in Cascade, you are on 94.5 ESPN. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Homer.
Paul, your resume, please. Are you a former winner, or do you have any impressive numbers like a 8, 9, or 10 in your history?
Negative. I am 0, 0, and 0.
Whoa, we have had way more first new people, right, Pebble?
Yeah,
are you changing
this contest particularly,
too. Are you changing the way you do this?
No, this is just a random caller, number 5. Whoever is,
so
whoever
this is
five.
The first time you've ever done this, correct, Paul?
That is correct, sir.
I don't know. Have we ever had a first-time winner win the competition?
I don't think so, no.
All right. The first question, as I said, Paul, is the Saganiac Planning Marquette trivia question. Pebble, go ahead and give Paul any assistance you think would be helpful.
Yeah, Paul, you got 2 minutes to answer all 15 questions. You want to get through all 15 questions in the 2 minutes. You don't want to run out of time, so don't dilly-dally on any questions. If you don't know the answer, say skip or pass. Homer will come back to it. The key is just to get through all 15 questions in 2 minutes.
You ready?
Good.
All right, first question, the Marquette.
Yes, I am.
Saganiac Planning Marquette trivia question. Here we go. 3, 2, 1, go. He scored 40 points and a half for Marquette. Turn the radio down. No, incorrect. He was a 4-year starter at Duke and the starting center in the 1986 NCAA championship game.
Christian Laettner.
Incorrect. Full name of the next Packers president.
Pass.
1970, first overall NBA pick by Detroit. He played for the Bucks later in his career.
Joel Fender.
Incorrect. LeBron James, the top pick in the 2003 NBA draft. Who was number two?
Carmelo Anthony.
Incorrect. Who was number five in the same 2003 draft?
Dwayne Wade.
Correct. Who was the first person taken in last year's NBA draft by Atlanta?
No clue.
Brewers' Jacob Mizorowski started with how many innings without giving up a hit?
Eight.
Incorrect. How old is Mizorowski?
20.
Incorrect. He did not play baseball his senior year in high school. Why not?
He got drafted.
No. The two Packer quarterbacks with 29 interceptions in one regular season.
Brett Favre.
Incorrect. Holds the Packer record 613 passes in one regular season.
Aaron Rodgers.
Incorrect. Holds the Packers record 48 touchdown passes in one regular season.
Brett Favre.
Incorrect. Most touchdown passes Bart Starr in one regular 14-game season. Touchdown passes 16, 26, or 36.
26.
Incorrect. How old am I?
70.
Correct.
Five.
Yeah, you got to two. I don't know at what point our four winners at seven are going, it's going to be...
A random drawing.
All right, Paul, two. Listen and learn from Pebble, because I'll bet he'll get about 12. You ready?
Yep.
The first miss was painful for me. How many times have I mentioned that on the show?
A ton. Marcus Howard.
Marcus Howard, 40 points and a half for Marquette, I believe. And he did it against a nationally ranked team. We should look up Buffalo because I think they were in the top 20. It's not like they were 24. I think they were like 13. Anyway, I believe since in the last 50 years, there are fewer than five other players that have scored 40 and a half against a nationally ranked team. There might be none other. All right, this was kind of tough. We'll see if Pebble can get it. He was a four-year starter at Duke and the starting center on the 1986 NCAA championship game.
Jay Billis?
Jay Billis is correct. Full name of the next Packer president?
Ed Policy. I don't know if it's in the middle name. Ed Policy
Ed
something.
Ed Policy is correct. That's correct.
Oh, I thought you wanted like his middle name, too.
No, I meant I should have full name. No. You don't have a middle name. Like first and last name. That's what I should have said. I'll remember that in the future. 1970, first overall NBA pick by Detroit. He played for the Bucks later in his career.
Yeah, no clue.
Yeah, Bob Lanier.
Ah.
LeBron, the top pick in 2003. Who was number two?
Darko Milicic.
That's correct. Number five, you got it right, Dwayne Wade. Woo! Who was the first person taken in last year's NBA draft by Atlanta?
Oh, it was like Zachary Richard or something like that.
Zachary Richesay.
Yeah.
Who's actually did okay for Atlanta this year. All right, the Brewers, Jacob Mizorowski. Started with how many innings without giving up a hit?
11.
Correct. How old is he?
23, same as Paul Skeens.
Correct. The Miz did not play baseball his senior year in high school. How come?
COVID?
Correct. The two Packer quarterbacks with 29 interceptions in one regular season.
Brett Favre?
Yes.
And
this one's harder. You know it's not Rodgers.
No.
Lynn Dickey.
Ah.
Now, I felt bad for Paul because he reversed these. Who holds the Packers record 613 passes in one regular season?
Brett Favre.
Brett Favre. Rodgers gets 610. Who holds the Packers record? 48 touchdown
Rodgers.
Passes in one regular season. Rodgers. He's got those like four of the top five. And just so you understand how the game has changed, most touchdown passes by Bart Starr in a one regular 14-game season. 16, 26, or 30.
Yeah, it's got to be 16. They're not passing the ball.
16! That's it! Won a game. And, yes, I am 70 until November the 13th. Paul, you get the $25 gift card from Cousin Subs, and the four contestants who were tied for the lead are happy you didn't do better. So, enjoy and congratulations. All right, now we get to, and I think I have to, because of Mizorowski and 11, whichever phone number's last two digits are closest to 11 will be the winner of our Cousin Subs for a year, $300 value or thereabout. Again, in honor of the Miz, or as I call him, Smoke.
And Homer, one of our phone numbers contains the number 11 at the very end.
No way.
Yes, it does. So the winner of the Cousin Subs 4 year from Cousin Subs first half of 2025 is Joe in Milwaukee.
Joe in Milwaukee, you should send a thank you to Smoke, as I call him, or Jacob Mizorowski. I think they call him the Miz. Is that?
Yeah, the Miz, yeah.
Yeah, I like
it. Or just Miz.
Miz. It all works.
So there's a professional wrestler named the Miz.
Yeah. And that's what takes it away. It doesn't matter. Smoke. Yes, he throws smoke. All right, congratulations to Joe in Milwaukee. You've won Cousin Subs for a year. And, again, we have another tie. That's three contests in a row that we've had a tie. And we'll start a new competition next Wednesday. Yes, the Brewers won today 4-2, but in this particular game, it really didn't matter that they won. What mattered is that the Miz was impressive, and he was. Yes, I was at the game. It just, I can't remember the last time I went to game. It was just random and at a position where I could see the issue of the speed of the ball and how difficult it was for the hitters. And as I said, I think the difference in what was most difficult was not only the speed with which he threw it, but even more so the movement and the various pitches. But I'll defer to somebody who knows pitching or also the hitters. And how big a deal it was or what made it difficult to hit. So now he has given up because they took him out after they said he was on a pitch count of 80. They took him out after I think it was five innings. Didn't he go five?
Yeah, he went five. Yeah,
yeah,
Skeens
he didn't
went
give
four.
Up any runs. So he's now at 16 innings and he's given up two runs and he's given up, what, three hits?
Yep, three total hits.
Yeah, and just watch it. And people just have better memories. I can remember Dwight Gooden. But then it seemed as if he was overpowering hitters. I didn't get the feeling that that was the same with the Miz. It existed. I know he's already got, like, the most ever thrown at 102 or something like that, or... But I would emphasize that somebody should look up how many pitchers in the big leagues throw at least 99 miles an hour, 98, 99. And again, I'll have to ask 84 because that's what Jerry Augustine, right? That's what he threw. I was going to say 94, but I don't think he was at 94. 84 or a hitter, at what point does the speed become like it's a little league game where the hitters can't swing soon enough. I didn't get that feeling other than one hitter, but in terms of impressive and looking impossible to hit the ball well or hit the ball hard, Ben Brust was talking about, you know, the miles per hour comes off or whatever that, and maybe that's a good judge, but because if you're confused based on how well he's pitching, it's true. You probably don't hit it with the same speed. Jason Wilde, and then of course Tim Van Voren, Fox 6 Sports, both on the busy Wednesday Homer Hour. Jason Wilde next.
It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
The busiest 60 minutes of your day, the Wednesday Homer Hour, and did not have anybody who set a new standard. 7, our lowest winning number ever for Rain Man competition. And randomly, as the last two digits of the phone number of one of the four with 7 ended in 11, and I said 11's the number because Smoke, as I call him, or the Miz, will always be remembered as his first 11 innings pitching, no hit ball as a starter. I've still not found or been told by the Institute on Twitter of anyone who matches that in the history of the game. I have heard since 1920, but I have not found anybody to put up a name and the innings for a starter. Many relievers have pitched 11 or more innings. I think not many, but there are some who were not starters. This is a starter. And the weird part is because it's only in recent time that starters pitch so few innings. Like in the past, if you had a no-hitter going, you wouldn't have stopped as he did in his first outing with, what, five innings? Jason Woolley on assignment. 10 years ago, we'll have in a little bit. 10 years ago, the Badger basketball team made a run in March that was magical. Wisconsin basketball made them believe it's tomorrow. Tomorrow. Go there and just thank them. I'll never forget it. That moment when you thought, they're going to win the national championship. Up 9, 13 minutes ago. Bo Ryan says that's a little early, and it's true. They did not lead at any point, I think, the final 4 minutes. But go to UWHoops2015.com, UWHoops2015.com, and you can be a part of the event, which is at the Orpheum Theater in Madison tomorrow. Frank Kaminsky, Sam Decker, Josh Gosser, and, of course, Bo Ryan. Tickets on sale, UWHoops2015.com. Even if you don't stay for the whole event, you should buy a ticket. Just go there and say thank you for creating one of the greatest moments in your life. There's no way, as a Badger fan, you have ever had the same experience you had in that game against Duke, ever. Barry Alvarez never came close to a national championship. Nobody's ever come close to a national championship. They were up 9 with 13 minutes to go. I've certainly never experienced it. I've been doing Marquette since 1989. They've never had a season where they were that close to winning a national championship. So, when you have that feeling again in football or basketball, let me know. It may be a while. That's how tough it is. American Place Casino, located in Lake County, Illinois, but more importantly, just a half hour south of Franklin. Half hour south of Franklin. All right, maybe 38 minutes if you're in the furthest point from Franklin to American Place Casino. Exciting table game, slot machine, sports book. And again, brand new 2025 Mustang Dark Horse Premium earned free entries daily all the way up through July the 5th. They have other contests. You go to AmericanPlace.com. It may take you a while because they have all these promotions you got to go through. If you're not taking advantage of two promotions every time you're at American Place Casino, you're not trying at all. AmericanPlace.com, and they're looking for people to work there that would do some of the table games. But American Place Casino, just a half hour south of Franklin, just a half hour south of Franklin, just a half hour south of Franklin. What's our discount liquor Twitter poll question? Pebbleton. Oh, yes, I've changed. I said on with Jason Wilde and Taos, I didn't think the Brewers were going to make the playoffs. I thought it would be close. After seeing the Miz smoke, yeah, I think they can make the playoffs. He's the difference. He's just a better team. If they make the playoffs, then they're the team no one wants to play because you got him as a starter, and in a short series, you become the favorite or viewed as a favorite against anybody you're playing. Even if it's the Dodgers, if he remains at the same or even close to the same level that he's at now. Dr. Aaron Holtebeck and his team make vision care a top priority with the latest technologies at their state-of-the-art Brookfield office. That's what I thought when he told me they've been doing it well for over 20 years. And then he said, Dr. Holtebeck, we got to be better. I don't know. That sounds pretty good to me. Great for 20 years. No, we got to get better. We got to deal with more eye care needs. So he added Dr. Nasheen Abbas, now accepting new patients. Whatever your vision, whatever the age, whatever the issue, they got experts, and they keep adding the team. Trust the experts from Holtebeck Eye Center in Brookfield, near the corner of Calhoun and Capitol. Learn more about their services at Holtebeck.com. Jason Wilde, next.
It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Yes, Jason Wilde on the Green Bay Packers. Then it's Tim Van Born. I was on Wilde and Tausch this morning and said that I thought the Brewers would be close but not make the playoffs. Jason, I will now change, and they are going to make the playoffs because they now have a player potentially as dominant as anybody in the league. I was at the park. Kid's amazing. Everybody should go to every game he pitches, and till further notice, every game should be a sellout.
Wow. Yeah, he's pretty good, it would appear. Sorry to keep you waiting. I walked the dogs without my phone, which was stupid. Yeah, he's he seems to be the real deal. And if they, you know, you've apparently never heard of him or forgotten about him, if they someday get Gasser back, they could really have quite a group at the front of their rotation. So, yeah, pretty cool stuff. And I'm glad that one game in attendance in person was enough to change your tune. Has that ever happened before in your long history of having an opinion as the GOAT of Wisconsin sports talk radio?
Yeah. Well, I wasn't the GOAT then. The first game I saw Dwayne Wade play.
Oh, you're admitting you're the GOAT now, though.
No, I'm
Thank
not.
You very
I,
much.
I'm not admitting no, I'm the GOAT.
I wasn't the GOAT then.
Okay, whatever. Say whatever you want to think. You know what my opinion is, and there's nothing that I could – there's no Aaron Rodgers I could pull that would change that.
That's true.
But anyway, no, he's that good, and I was able to sit, and people should do this at the ballpark. There are only a certain number of seats where you can see the speed with which any pitcher throws and how quickly a batter has to make the decision. You don't see that in the along the first base line, third base line. You have to generally be behind home plate. I was at the club level right behind home plate, and you get a great view of just how difficult any pitch is, and especially when the hitters are having a great deal of difficulty, and he's got everything. I would ask him next time to pitch and throw only as high as 92, because I think he would still be good. But
yeah, I will say I still am amazed when I've sat in that region, or when they do the thing where they've got like a tiny camera on like the umpire or on the catcher. I don't know how these guys ever hit a ball ever against some of these pitchers.
No, you have
it's
to.
It's incredible to me.
You have to make your decision very quickly. And when you had a chance, if you did, to watch Paul Molitor, it was amazing how you could see that he had a half a second or whatever longer because his swing was just a little quicker and shorter. And so that's the great benefit. But anyway, no, I want to. The biggest game for the Brewers is the next time he pitches, and the biggest game after that is the next time he pitches. Somebody compared him to Giannis. It's early to say that, but yes, he has the potential to trump the Packers. He could be, especially as it starts, as big as the Packers, and that's almost impossible in the state of Wisconsin.
I couldn't agree more with everything you said there.
Yeah. All right.
That doesn't mean I need to hang up now. I'm just curious.
No, you could. Just drop the mic. I don't think the Packers are going to give anything to Jenkins. I don't think they actually have to. I know you would disagree. They're paying him guard money to play center. And centers make less than guards. I don't know how anybody can dispute that. Yes, it's a new position.
Yeah,
he's being overpaid as a center, right?
Not necessarily. I mean, I don't think his $11 million base salary is him being overpaid now. Like, again, he's in a position. This is not commonplace, right? He wasn't signed as a center. He was signed to his extension as a left guard who might move to left tackle, if you remember.
Yeah.
And they structured the contract to allow for that potential move. And obviously that did not end up being the case. But the fact of the matter is that they're the ones asking him to play a different position. He happily agreed. They're the ones who basically hitched their offensive line reshuffling wagon to him playing center. Again, he's not asking for them to tear up his contract and give him a brand new 4-year deal with a bunch of guaranteed money. He would like them to guarantee some of the existing money that's already in the contract. And I don't think that that's unreasonable if you have determined, as they apparently have, that he is capable of being an all-pro center. Because I can look up Creed Humphrey's contract because he would be the current
right, but I mean, he's not there
football yet.
Creed
Humphrey was drafted one pick
after
Josh Myers.
Right. I mean, I would just say the average pay for a guard is greater than the average pay for a center. That's all I'm saying. That's the number I'm looking at.
That's sure. You're right. But again, he didn't sign his contract as a center. Like Creed Humphrey got a four-year $72 million contract.
Yeah.
Which included $50 million.
How many years did he play in center guaranteed before money. He got that?
He was drafted in 2021. Mm-hmm. So 21, 22, 23, 24. And then he got this extension last August. So he played three seasons at that point.
I mean,
I'm not saying he should get 72. Yeah. I'm not saying you should get $72 million, but I think it's reasonable if your own general manager says that they believe you are an all-pro center to say, okay, I would like money similar to what an all-pro center gets. He got an $18 million signing.
Well, but I don't believe the GM said that he would be it immediately. I thought the premise, we'll have to get the words, that
he's a three-time Pro Bowl guard.
Like, again, did he say he would be that good this year?
Center's supposedly easier to play, right? I mean, that's the theory.
I don't know what it is. I just know they make less. No, but I don't think he said he would be that the first year. My answer would be, we move you to center and you become as good as you might be, then at the end of this contract, you might make another how much money? Right.
He's not going to make more money at the end of this contract. He'll have turned 30 by then, and they're not going to pay him.
Well, they're not, but somebody else would if he's all pro, right?
Well, right, but what's
now? Like, I just want
to. Why are you arguing on behalf of the organization?
Because I think that's an easy position. It's an easy position to have. I don't have that because they're not being rude.
Right.
They're not being anything.
It's such an easy position that they spent 4 years with a guy who wasn't good enough, and it caused them to reorganize their...
It's an easy financial position to take. That's what I would take.
To be cheap?
No! We're like, we're paying him more than center.
You can't keep saying that.
Why not?
You can't keep saying they're overpaying him if he's making $11 million this year.
They're paying
him. He's not being overpaid this year.
He should make, on average, he should make less as a center than he was to be paid as a guard. Yes or no? Correct. I know I'm correct.
You're not listening.
I am listening.
You're not listening. We're not doing averages because there are really good centers. There are terrible centers. Because he's into his contract already, which was written as a guard, and
right.
They moved him. He didn't ask to be moved. He is taking one for the team. Does that not have any value?
No. I mean, we're paying him
guard
pay.
Well, I'm glad I don't work for you.
Well, no, that's how it. Now, here's what I would do if I was him. I would simply say, I'm not playing center. I'm not going there. I don't want to play center. I'm going to play guard. You want me to play center, then trade me or get rid of me. I'm not playing center. Now, that, I think, is a good position. And if they want him to play center that badly, they're going to have to do a Jason Wilde and ante up. And in addition to our discussion, because I think the Packers' position is very reasonable, but that would be a reasonable one for Jenkins. Because he knows what you have stated, he's going to be in the starting lineup for the Packers, right? Somewhere.
You would certainly hope so.
No, I mean, you know that, right?
Yes.
Right.
Look, he could theoretically play hardball and say, look, I'm not playing under my current contract with no guaranteed money. And they can have a holdout, and they could fine him, and it could get completely acrimonious. And then they could trade him. And
yeah,
they can say, okay, let's play with Jacob Monk.
But they don't have to do that if he says, I'm not playing center. I'm just playing guard. Then they don't – I'm showing up.
Well, we're
– And then they have to –
So then what? They're going to move him?
I don't know what they would do, but it resolves any kind of fines and stuff like that. He's not required to change positions. He can say, I don't know, I'll hire you.
I don't know if that's true, actually. If a team tells you have to – hey, you're playing center – Like, do you have recourse to say, no, I'm not?
You're under contract. Fine.
Here's my question.
Yes.
This is what it boils down to. Why the hell would you do this? He's one of your best players. Do some sort of half measure that satisfies him. You have $46 million in cap space. Guarantee some of his damn money. Take care of him. Don't re-sign him at the end of his contract. You know that you have to do something about his cap number next year anyway, because it's like $25 million. Do the right thing by a player that you hold in high regard. And then next year, if you decide that you want to move on from him, you'll have added some void years to his contract, so it won't be as bad of a cap hit. And then you can play whoever the hell you want at center. Like, not all of this doesn't have to be a winner and a loser. You can find a common ground, get a good player back on the field for you, make your team better by having him available, and say, you know what? You've been a really good teammate and a good leader in the offensive line room. You're taking one for the team by moving positions. You've got $30 million left on your deal. We're going to give you $8 million guaranteed right now, and then you'll have another $5 million in a base salary or $4 million in a base salary. You'll get paid $12 million this year. If it doesn't work out, we'll part ways after this season, and everyone will be happy. Why not do that? It doesn't always have to be a winner and a loser.
Can I pull a Jason Wilde right now? Jason!
Depends what
that is. Homer, I hate to say this because I always think when I agree with you that it means I'm crazy. I agree 100%. And that is the bigger issue, is that the inability, it seems, for Goody to recognize special and what you do with special, even to varying degrees. And I don't know that I would give him the bonus that you did, but that doesn't matter. This isn't that hard, and I would still say that I was Jenkins. I'm not playing center. No, so you want, then you'd have to cut him, right?
Theoretically, yes. Yeah. And so, again, why allow it to get that?
And the other thing is, and then the real reality, as you've said, is they could have done it very soon, very quickly. I mean, we're putting you at center, and the average pay is less, but we're going to give you, even if it's like $4 or $5 million or something, right?
Right. Something. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
All right. Yep. We'll close on that
I didn't realize how good that feels to have that happen.
Well, no, only you can answer it. I don't know Goody well enough because it just doesn't make sense. So not everything is easy. This is pretty easy. And even if you don't do it and don't want to do it, you have an excuse to do it because they don't. I mean, you would say this: players don't change positions very often, right? At anywhere.
No, they don't. No, they don't. And it's not a fringe player.
Correct.
Like,
yes.
You know, I love Bo Melton, but this isn't Bo Melton practicing at corner.
No, he's one of the top tiers.
So, yeah. Right. And he's one of the him moving to center is the linchpin of you reshuffling your offensive line, because otherwise
and paying all that money
you don't
to the
go
other
out
guy.
And sign
yes.
Aaron Banks.
Yes. Just hang up now. You're
and
good.
And he got paid.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Well
Bye.
Done. Thanks, Jason. Tim Van Born next.
The three most important letters in sports. Better than those.
TVB.
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 It's Fox 6 sports director Tim Van Born on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Tim Van Born, Fox 6 Sports. He's got a better memory than me. So then when he talks about the Miz, or as I call him, Smoke, I'm sure he can put it in perspective of other great starts. TVV, Fox 6 Sports, three-time Wisconsin Sportscaster of the Year, Hall of Fame wingman. He's won other awards, but he won't tell us about them. TVV, say whatever you want about the Miz compared to your memory. I think it was the greatest crowd ever for a Wednesday afternoon game, other than maybe a playoff or something. But I just don't remember.
Yeah, I mean, electric in there for sure. I know you were there, Homer. I was there. Very cool. I hadn't compared it to other Wednesday afternoon games, but you might be right. I don't know what else would stack up with it. What I love about baseball is that this was kind of an organic growth type crowd, right? I don't know. What would the number have been ordinarily for this Wednesday afternoon
18,000.
It was a voucher game. You know what I mean? Your Quick Trips or your Metro Market, Pick and Save, whatever. This is one of the games you're eligible to get because it's Wednesday. It's the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Milwaukee Brewers.
Greatest deal ever.
Right, and then all of a sudden, my gosh, I'm cashing in my voucher
and
for this one
because free custard.
It is the greatest matchup.
We got free custard because they have a program where if they get one strikeout in this inning, you get free custard. You get free custard from Culver's. I thought that's the easiest free scoop in the history of the world. They got 50,000 people going to Culver's.
Scoopy will be happy about it. Yeah, yeah. Biggest crowd of the year for the Brewers, and it's essentially again an organic growth to get that kind of number there today. I thought it was awesome. Great environment. Mizorowski lived up to the hype in my mind. You know, he wasn't, you know, absolutely eye-popping, but he beat Paul Skeens straight across the board. And you know what? Homer, the Brewers are a legit baseball team.
Yeah, especially with him, if he's that good.
For sure. For sure. Absolutely. He can anchor your starting rotation. He's giving you five innings. And he just doesn't allow hits. You know, I'm curious, like anyone else, what it'll be like if people do get on against him, try to run against him, create some action on the base pass. He hasn't had to deal with much of that at all. But, you know, Brewers get ahead. He keeps them ahead. What a great storyline written this afternoon.
And they could win more games when their offense struggles, which is clearly an issue from time to time.
But there was an issue today. They had one inning. They didn't do anything outside of one inning, but it was enough. And they have enough pitching depth now that, you know, guys are not going to get a pass. I mean, Mizorowski gets a bad outing or two, okay, he's going to come back. But, you know, some of these other guys, it's not your birthright that you're going to be in the Brewers rotation or even on the roster, if you ask Aaron Civale. So, it's a blossoming situation for the Brewers. And because of that pitching depth, headlined by Mizorowski and Freddy Peralta, who's unbeaten at home this year, you have guys that you can really count on a pretty regular basis.
Yeah, and Peralta's no longer the number one. I mean, there's no guarantee when a pitcher's this young that it's going to continue. But right now, it's not close who's better, right?
I would agree with you. Peralta was an outstanding number three a couple of years ago when you had Woodruff in his group and
right.
Corbin Burns, right? If you got Freddie Peralta at three, great. He's having what Pat Murphy calls his best season yet. So if Freddie Peralta's at two and Jacob Mizorowski is one, as you said, he has to sustain this, that'll shake up a lot of teams going into a playoff series.
No, you don't, if this kid stays this good or close to it, you don't want to play the Brewers.
No.
Because that's when pitching becomes even more important. But all right, were you around when Gooden first pitched? Or I'm trying to think of the last time when you just said, I got to go to the game to see this pitcher. My memory's so bad. Gooden comes to mind.
Strasburg, Steven Strasburg, when he was coming up, remember that? Oh,
yep.
Oh my gosh, the hype on that. Locally, some of the names were big at the time, and they were such, characters of hope more than anything else. Oh, Nick Neugebauer or whatever it might be. I still equate the CC Sabathia Brewer debut a little bit to this just because it was, oh my gosh, he's on the Brewers. What's he going to have to offer? And then the way he got going for the team when he came over in that trade.
Yeah, there's no way to overstate. I mean, he was basically unhittable. And that was a good Brewers team.
Baseball, you see it coming. That's what's so different about baseball is that, okay, pitching probable, he's going that day. That's what you point toward. You can go to a football game, you don't know what you're going to get. You can go to a basketball game, hey, Giannis scores X number that night. Well, maybe Giannis doesn't play the next night, whatever it might be. Baseball, that it's just a different build with that sport. I mean, any sports fan knows that, but the way it kind of captures the imagination, people have been talking about this pitching matchup since it was aligned the other night when the Brewers had the rain out, and all of a sudden it sets up its Mizorowski and Skeens, and people start talking, and then it goes like wildfire.
Can you compare it to anything the interest. I mean, I just, because of Marquette, I think of Dwayne Wade, but I don't, you know, to where everybody just wanted to be there.
Right. I mean, I would compare it, I guess, to a series, like a playoff series, like right. like the Bucks.
But I mean, like Paul, when Ryan Braun came, or I thought Prince Fielder was huge, but I can't. No,
I remember Corey Hart. You know, Corey Hart comes up and he hits a foul home run, and everybody's like, "Oh my God, yeah, he struck out, but hit that foul home run." I mean, that's where the interest was on some of these guys. You know what I mean? So this is. Because it's now three starts, I think this is going to be hard to top the way Mizorowski's going. Other guys, and I didn't realize how many guys actually had pretty good debuts for the Brewers until they started putting out some of those numbers. But then did they do it for three starts? No. And Mizorowski has.
All right. Enough. Every game that he pitches, I want him to release his expected start for the rest of the season. Doesn't mean they have to. Just give me the dates. And granted, they should change. And if anybody has a problem with a limited pitch count, talk to them, because I'll be mean. Tell TVV, tell them this is just normal, yeah. And even more normal yeah, yeah. for today's baseball. I mean, the sure. biggest fear of every pitcher, and it's the fear of him, but that when are they going to have Tommy John, or when are they going to have an injury? Right?
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know the percentage, but you hear people be like, well, I'm glad he's already had the injury. And that's the biggest fear for every pitcher, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I mean, even Shohei Ohtani, you know, has been
yes.
on the pitching shelf.
Right. Great
example.
He's
a two-way player, so he hasn't dropped away from the radar, dropped off the radar. But he's been on the pitching shelf, and he's a guy, I think, you know, looks like an absolutely supreme athlete, great physical condition. You know, has the mechanics down on everything he does. He's had the problem. So there's no question you're exactly right. And the timing of all that stuff, it just alters the way you watch these pitchers develop and grow.
I don't know anything about him. Have you interviewed him? What do you have any comment on the Miz?
You know, today he went to the podium, so we didn't talk to him one-on-one today at the podium. I did chat with him a little bit yesterday in the dugout. I was out there yesterday. That was one of those.
He looks 17. Does he look 17
yeah,
up close?
You know what? He looks young.
Part Does he shave?
He's so slender. He's so slender. He got kind of a wispy facial hair thing going.
All right, yeah.
Not a lot there. But, you know, pretty. Yeah, I like talking to Grant Anderson today. Grant Anderson, you know, middle reliever.
Sure.
He's come on nicely throughout the front end of the season. But his locker's right next to Mizorowski. I said, who is this guy? And he said, you know what? He's happy to be here. He's appreciative of being here. He feels like he belongs here. And he's a very driven young man. I thought, you know,
wow.
if that sums him up, that's pretty good.
What is, he's a driven young man. I need the translation on that. Like, he wants to be in the Hall of Fame.
I don't know, but if that's your takeaway from a baseball
yeah.
teammate who's sitting in the locker next to you, I think that's a good, that's a compliment.
Right, well, yeah, because he's not, like, happy to be there, like he's out of, you know, like his ego is crazy because of what's going on. He's a driven young man, which would tell me he wants more than what he's had for three games, right? Is that my translation?
The, natural, yep, that's the natural takeaway from that.
Anything you want to add about tonight's NBA draft?
I don't need two nights. That's what I'll say.
What?
I don't need two nights of an NBA draft.
Nice! A little John Anderson salt from Tim Van Voren. Nicely done. And, yes, driven young man. I know in a week you'll have a further explanation on that for the Miz. Thanks.
See you, Homer.
TVV. Fox 6 Sports. Draft in a half hour. Next half hour, will they talk about the Miz? Or as I call it, smoke!